This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Let's talk about the op that's being run right now. There's propaganda going on, and it's aimed at who? We will discuss that tonight. The big, beautiful bill. Electric vehicle mandates. All that and more coming up on I'm Right.
I have questions for the secretary, because the fact of the matter is a half a dozen felon criminals that you're rotating on your heads off.
All right, we need to discuss what's happening out there right now, propaganda-wise, with illegal immigration and deportations and the riots and the Democrat Party, because there's an op, there's an operation going on right now, and it's hard to see it sometimes unless you understand a few things about the game being played. So let's get some basics out of the way first that we all have to understand, because we have to get to step one before we can get to step two, right? Crawl before you walk, that kind of a thing. So there are a couple things we must get, absolutely must get. First, we are going to talk about the base of the Democrat Party, the beating heart of the Democrat Party. Political parties in whatever country they have, in whatever country they reside, they have constituencies that are going to be their beating heart. People you have to speak to, people you have to serve, because those are your voters, those are your workers, they're the ones who are going to go knock on doors for you, they're going to give money to you, and the Republican Party. That would be evangelicals. The evangelical vote, any Republican, whether you worship Satan himself or not, every Republican understands you better show up in some churches when you're campaigning. Whether it's Congress, Senate, Trump did it. You got to go check the evangelical box and make sure they know they're being served, right? So what's the main constituency of the Democrat Party? Seems like from the outside looking in, there's all kinds of different groups that are totally separate and unrelated. And of course there are. You have the LGBTQ demons and the fake civil rights stuff and the feminine. The real beating heart of the Democrat Party, and it's critical you understand this, is miserable single women who are mentally ill. I'm not actually making fun of them. Just stay with me here. Have you ever seen one of those polls? They've been doing this a lot lately, especially over the last couple of years, showing how men, women, married, single, how they vote in the country. They do them all the time, and every poll turns out the same way. It's wild to look at the poll, the outlier in the poll. So here's how it works. Married men vote Republican, roughly 51, 52%. Married women vote Republican, 51, 52%. Single men vote Republican, same thing, 50-some percent. But then how do Democrats ever come close to winning an election with numbers like that? They don't have married men, they don't have married women, they don't have single men. Single women, they are the outlier in the poll, and it's stunning. Like 70% Democrat. But wait, there's actually more to that. We also know from all the numbers they've done, all the polling they've done, that the majority, the large majority, it's like 60%, something like that, of those women have been diagnosed with some sort of mental illness. So it's not just some funny stereotype I get to have a good time with here on I'm Right every single night. The beating heart, the frontline warrior, tip of the spear, the volunteer, the donor, the everything, are miserable, mentally ill women. If you are an elected Democrat at any level in this country, at any level, whether it's mayor, governor, state legislature, city council, president, you understand those are your people, and you better speak to them, and you better activate them, and you better motivate them. So that's part of step one. The other part of step one, before we get to step two here in a moment, is this, because we have some things I want to show you. Opposition to Donald Trump is how you get elected as a Democrat in the country. Communists, as we've discussed many times before, are excellent at creating symbols. They'll hold up a symbol. Sometimes it's a symbol that they want people to worship. Hey, George Floyd, worship him. Go to the next funeral. Don't you love George Floyd? And then sometimes when they find the right boogeyman they think will freak people out, this would be Donald Trump, they will hold up a symbol for their people to throw tomatoes at and get angry at. This is the bad guy. This is the bad guy. This is the Antichrist. Whatever you're angry about, whatever's happening in the world, bad, 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 bad. And once you do that, once you drill that in the head of all those mentally ill single women, then what's next? What's the next step for you as a politician? You tell them all, I'm the one who will stop him. They all run on it now. I'm going to stop Trump. I'm going to get Trump. I'll stop him. I'll arrest him. I'll get him. I'll oppose him. But that's how you get elected. Once you've brainwashed your mentally ill single women, you then tell them you will swoop in and come to the rescue. That brings me to the riots and what's happening out there, because there's an op being run. And what happens is normal people like you, you don't understand what they're even going for. You don't understand why they're using rhetoric like this.
A week ago, everything was peaceful in the city of Los Angeles and in all of the representatives behind me in their cities as well. Things began to be difficult on Friday when raids took place. And it's important that I begin there, because that is the cause of the problems that have happened in the city of Los Angeles and other cities. This was provoked by the White House. The reason why, we don't know.
He started this. There should be no violence. He should not continue to support violence. They should not be edged on and, you know, provoked in any way. And that's what the president of the United States is doing.
So there are a lot of polls that are all over the place. I would argue that this is not immigration policy that we're seeing unfold. This is domestic terrorism.
Look, I remember a few stand-ups ago when I talked about what terrorism looks like. This is it. There should be no question to what our country would look like had the Confederacy won.
The administration has no interest whatsoever in targeting criminals. What they want is to fulfill Stephen Miller's white nationalist fantasy.
Trump is a wannabe gangster, and he's showing the world what he's about. And I'm proud. You know, my dad served in Second World War. He fought the Nazis in Northern Africa. He fought the Nazis on the Italian Peninsula. And I think he's looking down right now and he's happy that I'm fighting today's Nazis.
You roll your eyes when you hear that insane stuff. White nationalist. My dad fought the Nazis. You roll your eyes and you scoff and you think, who are these ridiculous people? Nobody believes this stuff. These are obvious lies. No. That's where you're wrong. They're obvious lies to you, normal human being. Single, mentally ill woman who just popped her 10th anti-anxiety medication of the day, she hears these things and she believes them. She hears these things and she's motivated. She's activated. Who's Eva Longoria talking to when she speaks like this?
Hi, everyone. I wanted to get on here and finally compose myself to do a message because of everything that's happening with the mass deportations. Every time I try to record a message, I just start crying, and then I don't want it to be about me and my emotions about it, but it's just so inhumane, hard to watch. It's hard to witness from afar. I can't imagine what it's like to be in Los Angeles right now. I can't believe it's happening in Austin, Texas. I can't believe it's happening all over the country. The comments and people's reactions to it is really so surprising to me, because it is un-American.
You roll your eyes. Oh gosh, another crazy Hollywood starlet. Single mentally ill woman. She hears that and she's filled with rage. And so what they do, because they know who they're speaking to, again, they're not trying to talk to you. They know they can't get to you. They understand that if they repeat the exact same message over and over and over and over again, your liberal Aunt Peggy will believe it. She'll believe it all the way down to her bones. It will activate her. It will motivate her. She'll march in the streets. She'll be out there voting in the midterms. Why would you so obviously pay a legion of TikTok influencers to spread the exact same message?
Being in a country that you're in illegally is a civil offense, not a criminal one. You know what else is a civil offense? Jaywalking.
And being undocumented is not a criminal offense. It's a civil one. And if you've ever jaywalked, congratulations, because you've also committed a civil offense.
Have you ever sped over the speed limit? Have you ever drank or smoked underage? Have you ever drank and then driven a car? What about jaywalking?
Being undocumented in America is a civil offense. It's not a criminal one. It's the same caliber of crime as traffic offense.
If you are okay with the things going on in the United States right now, please unfollow me and never speak to me again.
If you're white and see an ICE raid happening and you don't get involved, I think you're a and I don't respect you at all.
If you voted for Donald Trump in the last election, you are a bad person. If you continue to endorse Trump and his policies since the election, you are a bad person. If you do not think what ICE is doing in California right now is problematic, you are a bad person.
The second you don't speak out against atrocities, all for the sake of, I just don't want to get involved, you aren't kind. You're actively being harmful, and you're a f***ing coward.
Who are they speaking to? It's not you. You rolled your eyes 10 times watching that. Scoffed. Who are these crazies? Why would they all be paid? Obviously, they're all paid. This is an operation. They're being paid to repeat the same thing, but not for you, liberal Aunt Peggy. Someone grab my Xanax! That's who it's for. That's what's happening. That's what you're seeing right now. That's why they run these ops. The beating heart of the Democrat Party as the mentally ill single woman. And that's why they talk the way they talk all the time. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We're going to talk to the amazing Sean Spicer in just a moment. Before we talk to Sean, I have to talk to you. Little confession here. You are aware, I'm sure, that the Kelly family, the Kelly men, don't live very long. It's just the way it goes. Right? Lost my dad just a little while ago at 69, and he beat the odds. Most of them don't make it that old. So I have had to make some adjustments. But you see, I have this problem. I love chips. I just love chips. And I mean, I'm a chip freak. Chips and dips, chips without dips. I'm a chip man. How do I merge those two worlds? I had a friend of mine, actually Mike Cernovich, as a matter of fact, tell me about Massa chips. I'd heard about them before. Massa chips. And I didn't want them because I heard they were healthy. They have three ingredients. And it's just the chips and the beef tallow and the salt. I mean, it's the corn, beef tallow, salt. It's got to be garbage, right? Yeah, they sent me a couple bags. Not only do I love them, my youngest son, who eats worse than I do, he steals them as soon as they show up to the house. They're freaking amazing. And they're good for you. You want 25% off? MassaChips.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
So if there were peaceful protests on Saturday for the military parade, President Trump would allow that?
Of course the president supports peaceful protests. What a stupid question.
I love the changes. I love treating the press like crap, because that's what they are. Joining me now, host of the wonderful Sean Spicer Show, Sean Spicer. Sean, Caroline's pretty sharp. What do you make of the job she's doing as someone who's done it?
Oh, she's doing phenomenal. I had a conversation with the president just a little while ago and said the same thing. I was like, wow, I'm somewhat jealous how well you guys are doing. She's doing a fantastic job. She's got a lot of poise, command of the podium there. And I'll tell you, I looked at that and I said to myself, God, could I have pulled that off? What a stupid question. It's like, you remember that baseball player that said, that's a clown question, bro? Like, I was like, wow, I didn't know you could say that. I know we're all thinking it, but I didn't know you could just say what a stupid question that is.
I forget, Sean, I hate to sidetrack it when we're talking politics. It's going to drive me nuts. Which player was that? Who was that said it? Because I can even picture it. I can hear it. I can hear him say it, and I can't remember it.
Was it John Rocker? He's a pitcher.
Oh, it could be John Rocker. Yeah, that would be John Rocker. John Rocker would say something like that. There's no question about it. Actually, you know what? Matt, producer Matt, we need to get John Rocker on the show. All right, let's get focused here. Speaking of celebrities, there's a lot of narrative being pushed out there with celebrities repeating the exact same talking points over and over and over again about all the riots and illegal immigration. So setting the celebrity aspect of it aside.
As Bryce Sean, Harper, by the way.
Bryce Harper. Of course, Bryce Harper. How much money is being thrown around on these propaganda efforts and who's throwing it around?
I'm so glad you asked that question. First of all, there's a propaganda effort where everyone loves to use the word peaceful. I said to Brian Stelter from CNN tweeted out the other day, if you don't live in a very specific area of LA, you're having a very normal day. And I wrote back, well done, comrade. Please include peaceful protest going forward in your talking points. And I thought to myself, because that's what's going on. It's like reflexive. We've got to say the word peaceful. But to your point about money, I played this clip on my show the other night. There is a reporter named Alex Michelson. He works for the Fox affiliate out there in LA. And he showed pictures of these face masks that you rioters wear. And I went on Google and Amazon and I started going around trying to figure out. And they're about $35-40 a pop. And this guy has a truck full of them handing them out. That's serious bucks. I mean, I like a lot of people, but I don't buy them face masks at $40 a pop and hand them out. So somebody's got to be funding this. If I had to guess, I'd say there's some kind of Soros connection to all this. But the bottom line is that there is clearly some funding, some coordination behind all of it. That of course no one's asking, Jesse. People like me and you ask about this. But at the bottom, that you would think if you are what people refer to now as reporters, if you were one of those people, you would say, "Gosh, could someone tell me who's paying for this or where'd you get them?" But they don't. They actually don't want to know. There's no degree of curiosity because I think that they're afraid of the answer.
Why are they afraid of the answer, Sean? What is it they say all the time? I'm trying to think of it. Speak truth to power.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound like the type of profession
power.
That should be afraid of the answer.
Speak some. The phrase is a little longer in their world. It's speak some of the truth to some of the power. Because if Donald Trump is doing it, and again, I played this narrative the other night on our show that when you look at the TikTok of how this went down, despite what they talk about, it was a Democrat assemblyman who stood outside the ICE facility that happens to be next to the Home Depot out there in the Paramount section of California. And started live streaming this and telling people something's got to be happening because he, quote, felt it. He felt it. And so he live streamed it and asked people to come down to support him and whatever. And then when these ICE agents left the fenced in area in which their vehicles came in, they started pelting with rocks and lit three cars on fire. So let's just keep in mind how this started. This wasn't Donald Trump. There was no raid. There was no action. This was literally federal employees going to work and a Democrat assemblyman live streaming this. So and encouraging a crowd to gather. But the idea that somehow this is Donald Trump and Donald Trump escalating it. And the last point that I'll make, Jesse, as a former Marine, you'll get this. Donald Trump doesn't just have a responsibility. I dare say he has an obligation to protect federal agents and federal assets, whether it's the cars and the trucks and the other things that they have, as well as their facility. He has an obligation to protect them, and he's doing his job. And when they sent these National Guardsmen and the Marines out there, they were to protect federal assets. He has an obligation to do that.
Gavin Newsom is, look, it's so obvious. You might as well hold up a sign that's saying it. Gavin Newsom believes these riots are presenting him with an opportunity to become the Democrat nominee in 2028. Here's Gavin Newsom.
Donald Trump's government isn't protecting our communities. They're traumatizing our communities. And that seems to be the entire point. California will keep fighting. We'll keep fighting on behalf of our people, all of our people, including in the courts. Trump and his loyalists, they thrive on division because it allows them to take more power and exert even more control. And by the way, Trump, he's not opposed to lawlessness and violence as long as it serves him. What more evidence do we need than January 6th?
While watching him try to thread that needle, Sean.
Who's our people? Because it seems to me that people waving a Mexican flag throwing rocks at federal agents and federal installations and property, saying F ICE, are not my people. Those are not, I mean, I have a lot of neighbors. In fact, the house behind me, you can probably even see how close it is. My neighbors and I don't throw rocks at each other. So I don't call, when he says our people, our neighbors, people that aren't documented, those are all weasel words, because they don't want to say that those are people who broke the law. But if you really are chanting that you are objecting to ICE deporting you, right? I mean, just think of the logic of this, Jesse, real quick. You're out protesting because you don't like what ICE is doing. That would mean, say to me, that your goal is to stay in America, right? You're protesting not wanting to be deported. So why would you fly the flag of another country if you wanted to stay in the United States?
It's a very good question, Sean. Sean Spicer, host of the Sean Spicer Show. Come back soon, my friend.
You bet.
All right. Miranda Devine and her Australian accent, they're going to join us in a moment. Before those two things get to us, I have to talk to you about Pure Talk, and I have to tell you something Pure Talk's doing right now. On top of providing cell service, the same cell service you get now at half the price, I'm paying half of what I was paying at T-Mobile, Pure Talk is handing out allegiance flags. You know what those are? They're American-made flags, American-made American flags. They're trying to hand out 1,000 of them to veterans before Independence Day. Do you have a veteran, someone you would like to nominate? Maybe you are that veteran. PureTalk.com/nominate is where you can go do that. And while you're there, go to PureTalk.com/JesseTV and switch your cell phone service. They make it easy. I love Pure Talk. All right, we'll be back. You know who Miranda Devine is. We talk to her as often as we possibly can right here on I'm Right. She's one of my favorites, been a fantastic columnist for quite some time. She started a podcast, and I don't know, I don't even know, half of me is mad at her. She got Donald Trump as her first episode. Donald Trump, to interview Donald Trump for her first episode. How does that even happen? Joining me now, host, I'm going to have to get used to introducing her this way, host of Pod Force One, Miranda Devine. Miranda, please tell me you didn't just shoot him a text or something. How'd you score that?
Thanks so much, Jesse. Look, I can't really lay claim myself to landing the big fish. That was my editor-in-chief, Keith Poole from the New York Post, who organized that. In fact, it's his idea to do the podcast, and Podforce One was his. He made that up. Which I think is an absolutely inspired title. Donald Trump was keen to do it. So he did. It was very kind of him to do it. And he's going to, he's promised that he'll come on regularly. We hope once a month, but whatever his schedule can manage. And so hence the name Podforce One is sort of built around the main person, which is Donald Trump. And then, you know, we'll have, we've got Scott Bessent is going to be the next guest, the Treasury Secretary, and J.D. Vance, the Vice President, is also there. And Monica Crowley, of course, is wonderful. Pam Bondi, Tulsi Gabbard, Tom Homan, all of them have agreed. Howard Lutnick, all of them have agreed to come on. So I think it'll be a pretty interesting kind of series coming up.
Yeah, I think you're probably doing pretty well for yourself. All right, let's focus on some things that you discussed with Mr. President, as in China and the trade deal. Here it was.
China's always very tough to deal with. They're a little spoiled from having such great success against our negotiators.
Yes.
But we have some things that are going on. I got along great with President Xi, always have. And we'll see if we can make a deal with China. But we're making deals with others. We just made a big deal with the UK, as you know, and we have others coming down the road. And if we don't make deals, we just send them what the price to do business in the United States is, which, frankly, is the best way to do it.
Yeah.
I like doing that better than making a deal. You know, making a deal with a country is always very tough politically. this telling the country what they have to pay is very easy. You send a letter with two or three paragraphs, and you say, this is what you have to pay to do business in the United States, and they're going to pay it.
Miranda, where is this China deal? Every day we hear we have a deal. Looks like we have the framework of a deal. We got a deal. Oh, we don't have a deal. We're going to have a recession. It's a disaster. What do we have?
Well, it was interesting that Donald Trump said about China that he thinks that they got a little spoiled under Joe Biden with the negotiators that they had there. And he has sent his best in Scott Bessent and Howard Lutnick and Jamison Greer, the trade envoy. And I think, you know, I mean, basically Bessent and Lutnick are two self-made billionaires. They know how business works. And the Chinese want to do business, and their economy is not doing very well. They're suffering from the tariffs, from an export slowdown. Their factories have slowed down. They need to do a deal. And I think what happened just in London on Monday and Tuesday with those three US negotiators was not so much a deal, but the beginning, like the end, a truce. Basically, things had gotten pretty willing between China and America. China had put on these pretty vicious bans on some these magnets and some rare earths that are crucial to America. I mean, it's a wake-up call for us that practically every motor needs these magnets, and you know that has implications for not just automobile manufacture but also national security. So and then we hit back. I mean, this was a pretty mean arsenal of weapons that was dragged out by the Trump administration against China. You know, it was everything from stopping aircraft parts from getting to them. So now they've got 250 planes are grounded, and they were getting grounded at the rate of 250 a week. And also, I mean, Marco Rubio is there saying we're not going to take Chinese students. And there was, we blocked a sort of a petrochemical called ethane, which is a crucial component eventually to make plastic. And of course, you know that a lot of stuff that comes out of China is plastic, so that hurt them too. So all in all, I think both sides were inflicting damage on the other side. And President Trump had a call with President Xi last week, and they agreed to have these sort of hastily pulled together trade negotiations on Monday and Tuesday on a neutral territory, which was London, which Keir Starmer put together for them, because he's now, you know, best friend status, having pulled off the first trade deal, and probably the best trade deal for England, because Donald Trump has this theory that the first deal, you always get the best outcome for yourself, and you get a little less good as you wait. So Keir Starmer organised that, and I think really what they managed to do was say, okay, give us the magnets, we'll take off our pain points that we've put on you, our retaliatory measures, and then they'll go back to square one, which was, I think, what they sort of organised in Geneva, which was that Donald Trump sort of took off a few of the tariffs, and they continue trading and you know, make money together.
Miranda, do you get the sense that the goal of this is to get a deal and to make money? Hey, it works for you, works for me. Or is the goal to reshore American manufacturing? Because those are not the same goal.
Yeah, I think it's sort of a three-part goal. You know, Scott Bessent is sort of the Trump whisperer when it comes to the market. And he gave a speech a little while ago in New York, and he mapped out very clearly that Trump loves tariffs for different reasons. And you just outlined two of them, you know, making money, bringing back manufacturing to this country, making money from the tariffs, which he thinks is a big money spinner. And also just, I mean, engineering more trade for ourselves. And by sort of forcing companies to take to import sorry countries to import more American goods, and not have these non-tariff barriers against, say, our agriculture and so on. You know, pretending that it's like GMO problems, so that they won't take American beef or American grain. So all of that, opening up markets, making money from the tariffs, and you know, I think Donald Trump thinks that it's just a magic cure-all for all trade woes. But at the heart of it, he is a, he's kind of a free trader. I mean, he just wants people to make as much money as possible, and he wants to screw the best deal possible for America. And, you know, he's the art of the deal guy, and I think that's good for America.
Another thing you and him talked about was something that hopefully is not on everyone's minds in the coming weeks: Iran. When we hear that military dependents are leaving Iran, when we hear warnings to the embassy, well, here you two were, here it was.
Do you think you're going to be able to stop Iran from enriching its
nuclear? I don't know. I did think so.
Mm.
And I'm getting more and more less confident about it. They seem to be delaying, and I think that's a shame, but I'm less confident now than I would have been a couple of months ago.
Mm.
Maybe they don't want to make a deal. What can I say? But, and maybe they do.
Mm. So what does that mean?
There's nothing final.
What happens then?
Well, if they don't make a deal, they're not going to have a nuclear weapon.
Right.
If they do make a deal, they're not going to have a nuclear weapon too, you know, but they're not going to have a nuclear weapon. So it's not going to matter from that standpoint, but it would be nicer to do it without warfare, without people dying.
Miranda, I understand he's the president and he can't and shouldn't lay out all of his plans in front of all of us, not even on Pod Force One, but you get the sense that he's ready to go to war?
I'm not sure it's go to war, but it's, I guess, you know, Israel needs American assistance to bomb the smithereens out of Iran's nuclear facilities, and you know, in the form of, I understand, aircraft to carry these big bombs, for instance. So in that sense, America would be involved. But I mean, it's not like America hasn't been involved in Ukraine behind the scenes, training up people and giving weapons. So I, you know, it's just a matter of Donald Trump. He wants to try and balance his desire for peace and to stop the killing against also a strong deterrent. And, you know, nobody in the world except Iran wants them to have nuclear weapons capability. And this is something that the Biden administration just completely screwed up. And they, you know, when Donald Trump left, Iran was broke, totally on its knees, didn't have the money to fund its proxies in Israel and around the world. October 7, for instance, was funded behind the scenes by Iran. And things were as they should have been. And the Biden administration unleashed a whole lot of money to them. And, you know, the oil flowed, and now they're flush with cash and dangerous. So Donald Trump's got to go back to square one again. And Scott Bessent has said that the aim of the administration is to make Iran broke again, which is obviously annoying the mullahs. But Donald Trump is, you know, he wants peace, and he tries to play nicely with these guys. But as he showed in his first term, when he knocked off Soleimani, tackled ISIS, and so on, there is, you know, he is willing to do the hard, tough things. And America does have the number one military in the world, and it's perfectly capable of inflicting real damage to other countries. And that is the deterrent. And as he says, Iran cannot be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. And Israel doesn't want that, but neither does Saudi Arabia, neither does Qatar, Syria, Jordan, none of the other countries in the Middle East want that either. And Donald Trump just went and had that big trip to the Middle East, and you can bet that the back talk, the behind the scenes talk, was the same. We don't want Iran to have nuclear capability. So it's not as if he's going out on his own. He's trying to give Iran as much room to move as possible. He said to them, you know, I want to have a good relationship with you. I want you to prosper. We will trade with you. We will help you prosper. But, you know, if the mullahs are just hell-bent on getting a nuclear bomb, I mean, it's not safe for any of us. We do not want Iran to have nuclear capabilities.
Miranda, Pod Force One, everybody should go download it. Appreciate you very much. Come back soon. All right. Trump signed a bill today, an important one. We'll talk about that in a moment. I first want to talk to you about how great I slept last night. Did you sleep good? I had a little cup of hot chocolate before bed. I love hot chocolate. My hot chocolate with dream powder in it from Beam, it's cinnamon chocolate. It's even better. You would never know there are things in it, like reishi and stuff, all these natural things that put you to sleep. You'd never know unless I told you. Of course, you'd probably figure it out when you drifted off to sleep about a half hour after you drank it and slept like a little bitty baby and woke up feeling good, not groggy. That's the difference. Go get a bag of Dream Powder. You will love it. You'll always have one. I'll always have one. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
I want to thank everybody for being here. We officially rescue the U.S. auto industry from destruction by terminating the California electric vehicle mandate once and for all.
That sounds good. What's the story behind this? California's an insane place. Is that, well, anyway, let's ask Mark. I don't know. Joining me now, Mark Morano, executive editor of ClimateDepot.com. What is this California electric vehicle mandate that Trump's doing away with? Mark, what's going on?
This is huge. There's no other way to put it. This is the biggest blow against the forces of the Great Reset that Donald Trump may have done since he's been elected. This is huge. And why this is huge is for decades, with an exemption under the Clean Air Act, California has been able to set their own environmental policy. We have been held hostage, the United States of America, by whatever California wanted to do. Because if they decided that they wanted low emissions cars, they wanted to ban gas powered cars, automakers, because about 11 other states follow what California does, about 40% of America was now under these dictates of California, which then forced automakers and other industries to kowtow to whatever California's strictest standards would be. And there were literally wacko standards. I mean, we now have, we now had California enact this car ban by an executive order from Gavin Newsom. And then it went over to unelected bureaucrats at the California Air Resources Board. And then 11 states followed just because they were trigger laws set in by Democratic governors. And then the Biden EPA of unelected bureaucrats started implementing this. And by the way, all the automakers, generally all of them, supported this, thought it was a great idea. Why? Because they cashed in on tens of millions of dollars in subsidies and all the perks that they got. Stellantis would get money from the taxpayers and open up a plant for a few months and then close it, but keep the taxpayer money. It was all one of the biggest scams going. And by the way, the public, zero interest. I think it's less than 2% of cars, of all electric vehicles are on the road, 7% of sales. A lot of those are people that have even two electric vehicles. In other words, they were forcing this down our throat based on an obscure provision and regulatory scheme from the Clean Air Act. And Donald Trump, not only did Donald Trump do this, but this is a rare case, Jesse, because the Republican Congress actually legislated this. This isn't the case of, oh, darn, another executive order that can be overturned in the first 2 weeks of Gavin Newsom's presidential term, theoretically, in the future. This is actually law now because the Republican Congress did what it rarely does and followed through and actually made something happen. So we've now eliminated in the United States, now it's going to go to court cases and everything, but the idea of a gas-powered car ban by 2035, by 2040. And by the way, around the world, the same thing happened. Just like a COVID mandate, all of these restrictions happened without votes of democracy. They were decided on by unelected bureaucrats, by executive orders, by corporate government collusion. So this is a big day in America. And there's not a lot, you can't say too much hyperbolic about this because the hyperbole is true.
Yeah, Republicans did something in Congress. I just don't even know how to live in this world, Mark. I don't even know how to respond to that. It's never happened before. Okay.
They took us out of the domain of East Germany and Cuba, which were previously known as the only countries to restrict our freedom of movement. You know, Cuba had the 1950s America's cars, and East Germany had the crappy East German Trabant, which essentially you had to be on a waiting list for decades to get. It was the only government-approved car you could buy in East Germany. And guess what? In Gavin Newsom's America, under this mandate, which the GOP Congress and Trump just overturned, the government was basically saying you could only buy one government-approved car, an all-electric vehicle. And by the way, corporate banks were saying at one point a couple years ago that they weren't going to give out loans to people buying gas-powered cars. The World Bank was going to stop financing automakers if they were going to continue to make gas-powered cars. And you have cities in Colorado and California announcing the banning of new gas stations to create gas shortages if you should have it. The fix was in. They wanted to get rid of private car ownership. CNN was promoting carbon passports. We are living in a different era right now. This is a phenomenal time, and we're only 6 months in. I hope he keeps this momentum going, particularly on the climate, energy, environment front. It has just been phenomenal. I will say one other thing. Lee Zeldin, who I was not that excited about as an original pick because I just didn't know much about him, deserves every award possible. He's the greatest administrator in the EPA's entire history. This is a man of courage. Both he and Trump have flipped the entire climate narrative. They openly talk now from the highest levels of government about the climate scam, climate cult, climate religion. That is probably even more important than the legislation because we've changed and shifted the culture. And now Americans, companies, corporations, we can now speak freely of how we've been scammed low these many decades with all these climate claims.
Mark, is that why Politico is printing articles about how they've lost the climate culture war? Is it just, do they feel like they're on their heels? Because it feels to me like they're on their heels, but I don't want to be trapped in the Trump bubble, right? We're enjoying a Trump presidency, but it feels like they're falling back.
Very critical of a lot of this stuff. His whole deal with Palantir, surveillance, and the idea of, you know, this is going to go right in with the Great Reset and all this data collection, and the idea of imposing a UN Agenda 21. So there's a lot of problems with Trump and AI and the big tech conglomeration. I'm not the one who believes there's the good tech billionaires and the bad tech billionaires. To me, they're all bad, including a guy named EM initials. I won't say the name. But anyway, that's just to say I'm not a Trump sycophant when I say this. But Politico is acknowledging reality here. In Europe, they had to halt the Green New Deal. They had farmers protesting the climate net zero by throwing manure at the headquarters of Brussels in EU. And I've been to the Brussels EU headquarters. It's a perfect place to spew manure all over the place. The UN climate summit process is collapsing under its own weight. The last one I attended in Azerbaijan, falling apart. You have Argentina going the way of anti-net zero. You have all these European countries. You have Canada getting rid of their zeroing down their carbon tax, facing reality. And then you have Donald Trump, whether it's EVs, whether it's all the power plants, whether it's unleashing American energy and getting rid of at least, 60% of the subsidies that were passed in Inflation Reduction Act. Wish it were more. It may not be possible because a lot of the projects started. It becomes a legal battle. It becomes banks and financing's already began. But Politico is recognizing this. This is a mainstream corporate organization, Politico. They're saying we lost the culture war on climate. They quote an Obama aide saying the left strategy on climate needs to be rethought. This was an easy strategy 10, 20 years ago, even pre-COVID, because all they had to do was say solar and wind are cheaper and it's going to power the world and we're going to have all this jobs and entrepreneurship and everything's going to be just unicorns and just a miracle. And then reality hit. We started implementing them. Europe started, Canada started, the United States. And we realized this was the intentional rationing of energy, our freedom of movement, and our abundant food supply. And once the public realized that, boom, they lost it. They lost the public. And now Politico is admitting that. There's no more. They can't come back now and try to scare us with more climate tipping points. They can't come back now and talk about the dangers of methane and cows when even their own studies show that the lab-grown meat pushed by Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates is 25 times or more harmful to the environment. So every bit of their jig has been exposed at this point. And Politico is just reporting on reality now.
That's beautiful. Mark, Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you. All right. Some rioter in L.A. got absolutely bodied, and it's hilarious. Lighten the mood. Next. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. And as you know, I so enjoy when commie street scum get what's coming to them. And I love it when bystanders get in on it. It's just, there's something poetic about the public cracking down on these scumbags like this. Somebody used to play football. See you tomorrow.